Okay, we didn't quite make it to the end of the daf yesterday. We are still holding on daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis. Today's daf is daf Yud Zayin. Bez Hashem will finish Perek HaShutfin today and begin Perek Lo Yachbar. We are about 15 lines before the end of the page on daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis. And the Gemara was discussing what it means when the Torah says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed Avraham Bakol. So we had various opinions so far. We had the idea that perhaps HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed him by Kol means that he had a daughter. Another opinion says he must have not had a daughter. A third opinion, he had a daughter and her name was Bakol. A fourth opinion, that he was blessed with a special knowledge of astrology that caused everyone to respect him. And all the Malki Mizrach Amarav, Meshkim and Lepischa, where everyone used to come to consult with him. Another opinion, that he had a special stone that was able to be Merape people, that was able to give a refuah to those who were Cholim, to those who were sick. Various shitos of what Bakol meant. So the Gemara is now going to give another shita at the beginning of the line, 15 or 16 lines before the end of the page, Davar Acher Shalomarad Esav Biyamav, that perhaps another explanation of what it means that he was blessed Bakol is that Esav never rebelled, didn't go off the derech while Avram Avinu was still alive. Davar Acher, another opinion along similar lines, Shasi Yishmael Tshuva Biyamav, that Yishmael had become a Bal Tshuva during his lifetime. Yishmael had done Tshuva. Shalomar Esav Biyamav Minallah, and how do we know that Esav did not go off the derech so long as he was still alive, so long as Avram was still alive? Dichsiv, because the Pasuk says, Vayavo Esav Min Asadav Hu Hayef, that Esav came from the field and he was tired. Vitana Osa Yom Niftar Avram Avinu, that day was the day that Avram Avinu died. Va'asa Yaakov Avinu Tavshil Shel Adashim Lenachim Es Yitzchak Aviv, and Yaakov had made a cooked dish of lentils in order to be Menachim his father Yitzchak, who was an Avel. So says Gemara, of all foods to give an Avel, Maishna Shel Adashim, why would you dafka choose lentils to feed to an Avel? Amri b'ma Rava, Mishmei d'Rabba Barmari, ma Adash Azu, ein lapeh, af Avel ein lapeh. Just like a lentil doesn't have any slit, any opening, any mouth, so too the Avel has nothing to say. Right, the Avel says Baruch Dayan Emes. We have the Vahanik Dome of Vayidom Aaron, that Aaron was silent. The Avel has nothing to say. Anything he says is either going to be nonsensical or blasphemous. So you don't want to. So he's unable to really say anything intelligent. He's just overwhelmed by the gravity of the loss and the emotional void that he feels. So the Avil feels that he has no pay, he has nothing to say. And not only does the Avil have nothing to say, anyone who's going to be Menachem the Avil also has nothing to say. Right? We know in Halacha it's like that, that when we go to be Menachem and Avil, we don't say anything to the Avil, we wait till the Avil speaks to us first. Davar Acher, another explanation of why Dafka and Adasha, why Dafka lentil for the Nichum Avelim, Ma Adasha Zumu Gulgeles, Af Avelus Megalgeles Machzeres Al Boi Olam. Just like an Adasha is round and it would roll easily, so too, Avelus is something that rolls around the entire world. No one is exempt from it. No one escapes the experience and the wrath of Avelus. It's something that eventually comes around to everybody. My Benai, what's the nafkamina between the two reasons, whether it's because the Adasha is in Lopeh or because it's Magalgelas al Kol Olam Kulo? Ik Benai l'mechume bebei. Nafkamina is, are eggs also considered a source of nechama, right? Because the eggs, the eggs also are in lahem peh, but they're not round, so they don't roll so nicely. Eggs don't roll very well, but they are closed entirely and therefore do not have a peh. So if you're looking for foods that are in lahem peh, a hard-boiled egg would do the job. But if you're looking for foods that roll properly and that have that symbolic element that they're round and they roll around, so the egg is not going to be something that would be an appropriate food to be Menachem Avelim with. It's interesting, the Aramaic word for egg is beya. That's why a lot of people call Maseches Beitza Maseches Beya. They call it by the Aramaic word because they find that the Hebrew word is not so nucky, because it also has a connotation of something that's less nucky, of male body parts when you say it in Hebrew. So the truth is, in Aramaic, that would also have a connotation of male body, but they just do a shinui, so to show that we're trying to speak in a more lishon nakia, more of a lishon malia. All the Mefarshim at the beginning of Maseches Beitza actually talk about that. And if you look at the Mefarshim Mishnayis and Maseches Beitza, talk about whether it should be called Maseches Maseches Beitza or Maseches Be'ah. They record such a minhag that it should be called Maseches Be'ah. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Chamesh Averos Avar Osa Rasha Ba'osa Yom. There were five Averos that this Rasha, Esav, had done on that day, on the day that his grandfather died. Right? One of the blessings his grandfather had was that Esav didn't go off the Derech until he died. But boy, once he died, Esav really took full advantage. He did five Averos. Number one, Baal Nara Murasa. He slept with a Nara Murasa, a young girl who had Erusin with somebody else, and Esav slept with her. Number two, Vargas and Nefesh, he killed somebody. Number three, Kafar Be'ikr, he denied the existence of God. Number four, Kafar B'Tchias HaMesim, he denied Tchias HaMesim. And number five, Vishatas HaBechora, he disrespected the Bechora, right? He gave up on the Bechora. How do we know all these things? Baal Nara Murasa Ksiv Hachavei Avo Esav Min HaSadu Ksiv Hasam Chiba Sada Matzah. We know that he was Baal Nara Murasa because it says Sada, both when it talks about Esav coming from the Sada, and it says Sada when it talks about the Halach of Nara Murasa. So Gzer Shava Sada Sada. Obviously, this is a Gzer Shava that comes as a Mesorah. We can't make up our own Gzer Shava. It says Sada who knows how many times in the Torah, but Chazal had such a tradition that these two are dafka linked, and therefore we see that Esav was Baal Nara Murasa. Hargas and Nefesh, how do we know that he killed somebody? Ksiv hacha ayef, uksiv hasam oinali ki ayef anafshi lahargin. It says ayef, that he came from the field tired, and it says, when in regards to murder, oinali ki ayef anafshi lahargin, that I'm so tired from killing all those people. Right? That's also something that when someone kills, they're tired. V'kafar be'ikr, ksiv hacha lama zeli. When Esav says to Yaakov, Lama zeli habachora, uksiv hasam ze keli va'anvehu. Right? So the ze refers to ze keli va'anvehu. This is my God. So Esav is saying, Lama ze li. What do I need ze for? I don't need God. Meaning, he denies God's presence. The kafar b'tchias ha'mesim, the chsiv, hine anochi halech lamus, that I'm going to die eventually, and therefore he assumes there's no value to the b'chora, because once he dies, he assumes there's no end game after that. That's it. It's end of story once he dies. So he assumes that there's no tchias ha'mesim in that comment. Vishatas ha'bechora, and he disrespected the bechora. He rejected the bechora. Dechsiv vayivaz Esav es ha'bechora. Esav was mevazah the bechora. He totally disrespected the bechora. Now, if I were to ask you which of those five are the most severe, the worst avera, so Baal Nara Murasa is pretty bad, Kafar Be'ikr is pretty bad, killing somebody is pretty, they're all pretty bad, and which one is the one mentioned directly, explicitly in the Torah? Only one of them. Vayivaz Esav es ha'bechora. I would have put that fifth in terms of the list of severity, right? Being mevaza the bechora, of killing someone seems a lot worse than disrespecting the chashivas of bechora. So Rav Aaron Cutler writes in Mishnas Rabbi Aaron, he says, no, vayivaz Esav es ha'bechora is mentioned explicitly because that's the root of it all. That why does a person become an avarian? How does he go down a path where he does all sorts of terrible isurim like this? It's because he disrespects mitzvos. He doesn't appreciate the value of mitzvos. He doesn't appreciate the value of avodas Hashem. And once he mocks and disrespects those things that are truly valuable, ultimately it will lead him down this path. So that's the root. It's the shoresh of it all. It's not that as an avera, it's the worst of them all, but that's the shoresh that leads to everything else. A beautiful part from Rav Aaron Cutler. The Tosus over here is bothered. One of the things that Esav did was Baal Nara Murasa. Asks Tosos, Im Tomar, Valo Lomit Stavu B'nei Noach, Al Nara Murasa, Gdamrin Parag Arba Misos, Bulos Baal Yeshlam, Nechmas Luchub of Lona Ve'ein Lahen. There is such concept of marriage for B'nei Noach, but the way marriage works by B'nei Noach is once they decide to live together like men and wife, they're married. Right? Whatever is the normally accepted practice to make them married, they're married. But there's no such thing as Erisin by B'nai Noach. There's no such thing as, we have such a thing called Erisin, that you do a Harei Mukadashis, and then she's still Asura to her husband, right? She's just Asura to the rest of the world also, after Erisin. But by B'nai Noach, there's no such concept of Erisin. There's no being Miachider first with Erisin, and then only later doing an Isuin. So why would Esav be included in this prohibition of Nara Murasa? Why is it even Asur? She only had Erisin. What's the big deal? There is no Erisin. Erisin isn't recognized by B'nai Noach. So says Tosvos, Va'omerid, Afal Pishalo Nitztavu, Mikal Makom Mechur Adavar, Kimo Veshatas HaBechor, Af Pishen Mitzuva Alkach. He says, and when he disrespects the Bechora, what mitzvah was he violating? There's no direct mitzvah to respect the Bechora. No, but the point is, it's just not appropriate. It's something that's clearly disgusting. It's clearly something that shows midos mechuaros. It shows something that something very negative about him. This very much relates to, I believe, what we were just discussing on Shabbos at Shalosh Shudis. The idea of there's divrei Torah, but there's also ratzon haTorah. Rav Asher Weiss has a piece in Parshas Kisavo about the idea that there's certain dinim da'oraisa that are derived simply based on getting the impression of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wants, whether you get the impression through mitzvos that are described to us, that we get the idea of what direction the mitzvos point us in, or whether through Sipurei Devarim B'Alma, the Torah just speaking to us and us realizing the Ratzon HaTorah. But there is this concept called Ratzon HaTorah, and the big examples that he gave, again, were the example of Tzar Balei Chaim, where the Gemara says, Mamitzia Tzar Balei Chaim is Doraisa, but it has no pasuk for Tzar Balei Chaim, and there are 11 shitos in Rishonim from where we derived Tzar Balei Chaim. So he says that's primarily a Ratzon HaTorah issue, whether it's from Losachsum Sharbatisha, or all these halachos that relate to not causing pain to an animal, is because there's a general theme, Doraisa, of Tzar Balei Chaim that goes unsaid in the Torah. Or the other big example he gives that we mentioned on Shabbos is the example of Chinuch, that there is Shitos and Rishonim, that Chinuch is only Midrabanan. So what, on a Torah level, HaKadosh Baruch Hu envisioned that parents would have a child and they would just totally let him do whatever he wants. Kal Yashar Bein Avyasa, he's going to do whatever he wants and we're not going to put him on a path at all to do the right thing? No, of course not. It's a Ratzon HaTorah Din, that Chinuch is something that the technicalities, the details of Chinuch are Midrabanan. But clearly, to be Mechanech a child in the Derech HaTorah, that's a Ratzon HaTorah, that's the Raisa. So similarly over here, Tosfos seems to be saying there may not have been any technical violation for Esav to be Baal Naram Rasa, but it's something he should have picked up on. He should have realized it's a Ratzon HaTorah Din. Other Mepharshim are more makbid to try to find something specific. The Maharit writes that that the fact that Ben Noach is not mitzuv al naram rasa, that's only when it's beritzona, it's only when it's consensual. But if it was ba'ones, then it's a din of gezel. So since, and the assumption over here is that Esav did it ba'ones, because it says he besada matzah, and that stam sada is ones. We assume when it says in the sada, it's because he went to a quiet place where no one's going to see him, and he's going to be ma'aniser. So that's the point, that it was ba'ones, and ba'ones, ben Noach is mitzuvah in, because that's part of a din of gezel. Other achronim say, no, even if it wasn't ba'ones, it's a din of gezel. Once you had erisin, even though there's no concept of erisin, so she doesn't have a din of anashis ish, legabi b'nei Noach, but she does belong to somebody else, and therefore it's a din of gezel from that perspective. So it's aser for b'nei Noach on that level. The Yifei Leinayim, Yafei Leinayim writes over here that Tosis Kasha is only going to be a Kasha. I mean, Tosis Kasha, wait a second, b'nei Noach aren't mitzuvah on this, is only a Kasha if you assume that the Avos were considered b'nei Noach prior to Kabbalah Satorah. We know the Prashas Drachim, the Mishnah Lamelech in his Drush Sefer, and Prashas Drachim has a long essay about whether the Avos prior to Matan Torah had a din of b'nei Noach, or they had a din of Jews, right? So he ends up saying that they had a din of Suffolk. They themselves didn't know what they were, and that's why they were machmir in both directions. Very interesting essay. And how they dealt with Shabbos is a very interesting discussion, meaning because Goyish Shabbos is Chayiv Misa, but Yisrael is Chayiv in Shabbos. There are 11 answers to that question also. It's a very famous kasha dealt with by the Akronim, the Aruch Luner, others. But the point for right now is he suggests that if the Avos prior to Matan Torah had a din of B'nai Noach, then Tosfos says a kasha, that B'nai Noach were a mitzuvah, an Aram Rasa. But if the Avos prior to Matan Torah had a din of Yisrael, so Avram Avinu had a din of Yisrael, and he assumes that all of Avram Avinu's Enoklach also would have a din of Yisrael, and Esav had a din of Yisrael Mumar. He was the Yisrael who went off the Derech, which is unbelievable. One would have imagined, no, ki bi Yitzchak yikari l'cha zera, bi Yitzchak v'lo b'kol Yitzchak, right? That the Chazal Darshan, that who's going to be called Zera Avram in terms of carrying on his heritage, it's going to be Yitzchak, but not all of Yitzchak's children, lo b'kol Yitzchak, only Yaakov, not Esav. And one would imagine that even if the Avos did have a din of Yisrael, that they shouldn't, that Esav did not have a din of Yisrael. So it's an interesting comment, a very intriguing comment of the Yafei Leinayim over here, that he assumes that Esav also would have had a din of Yisrael if the Avos had a din of Yisrael. Fascinating comment. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Oh, well, just one more thing. We said, what did he do? He was kofar b'ikar and he was kofar b'tchias amesim. Let me ask you something. Once you're kofar be'ikr, aren't you by definition kofar b'tchias ha'meisim? If there's no God, who's going to be mechayev the meisim? Right? So the Aruch Lener raises this. First, the Aruch Lener makes a ha'ara that you see from here, Ben Noach is musar ala emuna, that Bnei Noach also have to believe. Because Esav is nitfas on the fact the Gemara has tainas on him because he was kafir be'ikr. So you see, even though it's not one of the technical Sheva mitzvahs, you see that Bnei Noach are chayiv to believe. The Rav Moshe has a tshuva where Rav Moshe was asked about non-Jews praying, right? Whether they have a chiyuv in tefillah at all. So Rav Moshe says it's a davar pashut that they're chayiv in tefillah. It's not one of the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach. He says, yeah, but they have to believe. And what does it mean to believe in God if you can't communicate with Him, if you can't reach out to Him, if you can't call out? By definition, part of belief is being able to communicate, is being able to call out, to cry out to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So there are mitzvah in tefillah, says Rav Moshe, Bnei Noach archayiv in tefillah, based on the chiyuv of emunah. And you see from here that they talk archayiv in emunah. Now, what about the idea that it says that he's kafar b'tchias ha'meisim and kafar b'ikr? So the Dvar Moshe suggests that maybe he was kafar b'tchias ha'meisim first, and then he went a step further and was even kafar be'ikr. So because it doesn't make sense. Once he's kafar be'ikr, of course, he's going to be kafar b'tchias ha'meisim. Says the Gemara, V'shasi Yishmael tshuva b'yam avinal. And how do we know that Yishmael did tshuva during Avram Avinu's lifetime? So ki hadu Ravina v'Rav Chama Barbuzi avayasi kamed Rav v'kaminam nim Rava. Happened once that Ravina and Rav Chama Barbuzi were sitting, learning in front of Rava. Rava was the Rebbe, and Rava was falling asleep. In my 10 years of saying shiurim, this never happened to me, that I was falling. A lot of times it went the other way around, that the people listening falling asleep. Rava was the Rebbe, and he was dozing off. He was falling asleep while the Talmidim were talking and learning. So they figured, okay, the Rebbe's asleep, so we'll talk and learning ourselves. Samuel Ravina Rav Chaim Barbuzi, Vade Dam Risum, Mishmei de Rabbi Yossi, called Misa Sheyesh Magvia, Zui Misasun Shal Tzadikim. He says, you ever heard this idea that any Misa where it's described as Gvia is a Misa of Tzadikim? That's a description of Misa of Tzadikim, of a gathering of the Neshama? Amlei In, he says, yeah, that's true. He says, Vadara Mabul, but then what do you do about the Dara Mabul? It also is a Lashon Gvia. He says, Amlei Anan Gvia Va'asifa Ka'aminan. We say that only if it's a Lashon of Gvia and Asifa, that's a sign of a Misa of Tzadikim. Vayishmal Dixiv Begvia Va'asifa, but by Yishmael it says such a Lashon. So you want to tell me Yishmael's death is a Misa Tzadikim? Adahach Yitar Behu Rava, that woke Rava up. Rava wasn't totally out of it. He was just taking a little power nap, but he heard everything was going on. So Amar Lahu, Dardiki Yachi, says, children, stop. Hachiyam Rabbi Yochanan. Yishmael also tshuva, b'chayi Yaviv. Yishmael did tshuva while his father was still alive. How do we know Yishmael did tshuva while his father was still alive? Shnemar v'yikru also Yitzchak v'Yishmael banav. It says that Yitzchak and Yishmael buried him. And the Bach adds in over here, Michti Yishmael kashish mi Yitzchak. Yishmael was older than Yitzchak. My time at the Kachashav Leili Yitzchak Mikameh, why does it mention Yitzchak first in the Pasuk? Shouldn't Yishmael have been going first if Yishmael was the older one? So you see from here that he must have done tshuva, and Yitzchak allowed him to go first. In front of him, and he allowed Yitzchak to go in front of him because Yishmael understood Yitzchak was a tzaddik, so he allowed Yitzchak to go first. Why did he allow Yitzchak to go first? Because he did tshuva. So you see that Yishmael did tshuva. El me'ata says Gemara Vayitvik Rosa Esav Yaakov Banav. It says Esav and Yaakov buried Yitzchak, so it says Esav first. Does that mean Esav did tshuva? My time, Allah chashvlu derech hachmasan. Why doesn't it list them off in the derech hachmel? Midakbe adbure adbre mida adbre shema minat tshuva v'biyamav. So it must be that again. The point is, meaning if it says Esav and Yaakov, you see that it's not listing them in derech hachmasan. It's listing them in the order that they went, and Esav went in front because Esav was the older of the two and did not allow Yaakov to go in front, as opposed to by Yishmael. Yishmael allowed Yitzchak to go in front because Yishmael did tshuva. Today is the 400th yard site of the Maral Miprag, so it's kedai to say over Maral. The Maral, we got lucky, we got some Agadata, so it's easy to say over Maral also. The Maral on this Gemara, when it says Gvia is a Lashon of the Misa Sadikim, says, what's the Lashon of Gvia? So he says as follows. He says the Misa means the separation of the Neshama from the Guf. Now, a tzaddik, the neshama is always yearning to go back to its source. The neshama is not so strongly connected to the guf anyway. So it's like two neighbors that are just happen to be in the same neighborhood separating from each other. It's very easy to do a clean break. And that's what the lashon of gevia represents. a rasha, the neshama has become so intertwined with the guf, has become so much a part of the guf, that it's impossible to really pull them apart from each other totally without having some gufnius, some gashmius, still connected to the neshama when you pull it apart. So that's the asifa and gevia of a tzaddik, is that you're just gathering in, you're just bringing in, and it's totally separated from the guf. It's similar to the Gemara says that the misas tzaddikim is like pulling a hair out of milk. It's just smooth, it's a very smooth transition. Whereas misas rishaim is like pulling a thorn out of wool. What's the name? Shall you pull a hair out of milk? It's just very smooth, goes very easily. Because the neshama is yearning to go back to its source. When it comes to a rasha, though, you pull a thorn out of wool, so some of the wool gets stuck in the thorn. It's very difficult to pull it out entirely. And it yanks at it, right? It's not a pleasant misa, because the rasha is so strongly connected to the guf. That's what that's how the Maral explains this idea. It's also kedai to say over this idea that Yishmael did tshuva. My chavrus always likes to say that he heard from Rav Melech Shechter, Rav Shechter's father, Zichrono Levracha. Rav Melech Shechter once told him that when Rav Yonasan Eibshitz was a young boy, so he was a genius and he was recognized as a genius, and everyone wanted to be meshadech with him. Anyone who had a daughter wanted to have Rav Yonasan Eibshitz. So someone came and gave him a bechina, and asked him to say a shtickle Torah, and Rav Yonasan Eibshitz, the guy didn't know much, so he opened up a siddur, and he opened up to Rabbi Shmuel Omer. He says, okay, darshan, right? It says Rabbi Shmuel Omer, darshan over here. So Rav Yonasan Eibshitz says, Rabbi Shmuel Omer. Generally speaking, unless there's machlokes, you'd always say Omer, and then the name. Why over here does it say Rabbi Shmuel first, and then it says Omer? That seems backwards, right? So that's question number one. Number two, klal uprat uklal assumes that there's an order in the Torah. They have klal, then prat, then klal, right? But ein muktam mukhar b'Torah. So what are you talking about? And number three, how's there a tana with the name Yishmael? Banish Shalom, who would name their child Yishmael? So Gemara Snapshot says, but the Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Tezayin and Beis, tells us that how do we know Yishmael did tshuva? Because Yishmael allowed Yitzchak to go in front of him. It lists Yitzchak in the pasuk before Yishmael. What do you mean? Ein muktam mukhar b'Torah? No, you see, within one inyan, within one pasuk, there is muktam mu'uchar. So that's why klal uprat uklal, within one inyan, you can have a klal uprat uklal. And from there we see that since within one inyan there is muktam mu'uchar, there you see that Yishmael did tshuva. So, and that's the vart. Rabbi Yishmael, the fact that there's a Tana named Rabbi Yishmael, Omer teaches us that you can have these Yudil Midrash, Shatar Rejman, Klal Prat Klal, etc. So Mistama, the guy wanted the Shidduch. He was pretty sharp for a kid to darshan on the spot. Such a charifas digavar. So anyway, it's a discussion in the poskim. Why Yishmael is a name that's okay to use? Not everyone, the Rishonim, and I think in Yuma, talk about it. Not everyone says it's because he did tshuva. Some say that it's because the name itself is a beautiful name. Yishmael was not a Rasha because of his name. He was a Rasha in spite of his name. He had a good Yishmakel. I mean, it was a name chosen to represent something very wonderful. He happened to have been strong enough to overcome it and still become a Rasha. But whatever it is, so there is this idea, at least, that Yishmael had done tshuva at the end of his life. One of the Achronim suggests, the Kerem Chemed, is quoted over here in the Biurei Adav, suggests that the Raya that Yishmael did tshuva is not from that Yitzchak went first and therefore Yishmael must have let him go first. It's that Yitzchak was willing to walk in front of him. The Gemara of Adzar Daf Chafei says, never walk in front of a Rasha, because he might kill you at any time. And especially Yitzchak had to worry. Yishmael had tried to kill him before, right? You know, he took target practice in the backyard with Yitzchak. Right, so Yishmael had tried to kill him before, and now that Avram had given the entire Yerusha to Yitzchak, Yishmael had even more reason to want to kill Yitzchak. The fact that Yitzchak was willing to walk in front of him is the raya that Yishmael did tshuva, not the fact that Yishmael put Yitzchak in front of him. Okay, says Gemara Vayta, we got to get to today's daf. Tan Rabbanan, Shlosha Yatim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bal Nazem Ein Olam Haba. There are three people that in this world HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them a little taste of Olam Haba. Ve'elu Ein, and they are as follows. Now you would expect Eov to be on the list, because we just said before, yesterday, 2 days ago's daf, that Eov was given a little bit of Olam Haba in the sense that his cattle, the same day they got pregnant, the same day they gave birth. So Tulsa says, no, Eov's not going to be listed over here, because Eov, only regarding that one Inyan, got a taste of Olam Haba. The people we're listing over here had a much broader taste of Olam Haba. Elohein, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Avram dichsiv bei bakol, Yitzchak dichsiv bei mikol, Yaakov dichsiv bei kol. So the lashon of kol is indicative of having a taste of olam haba. Shlosha lo shalat ben yetzar hara. There are three that were not controlled by the yetzar hara. Elu hein, and they are as follows. Avram Yitzchak Yaakov dichsivu bakol mikol kol. We darsh in the same lashon that bakol mikol kol tells me that the yetzar hara wasn't able to control them. Says Tosfos ein lefarish lo shalat klal. Doesn't mean they didn't have any yetzar hara at all. Dimkein hechvi kibla leigra. If you don't have a yetzar hara, there's no schar. Because if you don't have yetzar hara, then what's the big deal of following the mitzvos and doing everything properly? There's no yetzar hara to tell you otherwise, so they would never receive schar for their mitzvos if they didn't have a yetzar hara. He says, no, that's not what it means. El kadamer ma'idichsiv ragli chasidav yishmar kivon sha'aver adam rov shnosav lochat v'lochata shuv eino chotei. It's the idea that if a person shows, proves himself over and over and over again that he's not going to sin, so there's a guarantee that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to see to it that once he goes through rov shnosav, most of his life without sinning, he's not going to sin. Hachinami, kibin shara HaKadosh Baruch Hu sheidoch kinatzman kol kach l'srachik min ha'veira siyayim HaKadosh Baruch Hu mikan ve'elach shloshol pen yetzer hara. Once they prove themselves as tzaddikim through such mesiris nefesh to stay away from averos, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw to it that they're not going to sin anymore at all. The Yesham, and some say on the list of people who the yetzer hara was not in control of, Af David. David belongs on the list as well. The Chsiv, the Libi Chalal Bikirbi. My heart is hollow within me, meaning I'm missing something. I'm missing the Yetzer Hara. The Idach Tzari Hudukamidkar. And the other Shita would say, no, David's not on the list. When he said Libi Chalal Bikirbi, he wasn't saying that I don't have the Yetzer Hara. He was expressing anguish that his heart is as if he's partially dead inside, that he's expressing anguish over the suffering and the tzaros that he went through. Tan Rabbanan, Shisha lo shalot ben Malach HaMavis. There are six people that the Malach HaMavis did not control. Ve'elu hein, Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, Moshe Aaron and Miriam. Avram Yitzchak Yaakov dichsivu bakol mikol kol. Moshe Aaron and Miriam dichsivu al pi Hashem, because it says that they died al pi Hashem. So that means Hashem took them directly. They didn't go through the Malach HaMavis. Says the Gemara, wait a second, we're going to call that bluff. Va Miriam loksiv b'al pi Hashem. It doesn't say al pi Hashem by the Misas Miriam. It says it by Moshe, it says it by Aaron. It does not say it by Miriam. So don't try to pull the wool over our eyes. Says Gemara, Amr Blazer, Miriam nami b'neshika mesa. Das Hashem sham mimoshe. Malo nomer b'al pi Hashem. Why doesn't it say al pi Hashem? Shegnaya davar lomer. We learn that from Gezer Shavah that Miriam also died b'neshika, but it doesn't want to say al pi Hashem because it's inappropriate to say that Kodesh Baruch Hu was no sheikh, gave a neshika to a woman. That's just not an appropriate way of speaking. So the Torah gives it to us through Gzeres Shava in another way for us to learn this idea that Miriam died b'neshika. But Eino Chinami, she's also on the list of people who died b'neshika. Tan Rabbanan, Shiva lo shalot ben Rima b'taleah. There are seven people that no worms and maggots were able to have anything to do with their bodies after they died. Ve'elu hein, Avram Yitzchak Yaakov Moshe Aaron Miriam u'Binyamin ben Yaakov. Avram Yitzchak Yaakov dichsivu ba'kol mikol kol. Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, we know because it says ba'kol mikol kol by each of them. Moshe Aaron and Miriam dichsivu al pi Hashem. Moshe Aaron and Miriam, it says by all them al pi Hashem, even though it doesn't really say by Miriam, we have the Gzer Shava. Binyamin ben Yaakov dichsiv ulu Binyamin amar yedid Hashem yishkol nevetach alav, that he's yishkol nevetach, that he rests in security without anything affecting his body. V'yesham, and some say af David. David's also included dichsiv af bisari yishkol nevetach. My flesh is going to be yishkol nevetach, is going to rest in security. V'idach hu rachmi hu dekabai. Others say no, David was praying. He was saying, I hope, right? It wasn't that he knew that it was going to happen. So David maybe doesn't belong on the list. He was just davening that it should be like that, not that it was like that. Fractosus, Temel Rashba, Dekul Tzadikinami. Doesn't the Gemara say that all Tzadikim? The Gemara, Dam B'Shabbos Perek Shoel, V'rekav Atzmos Kina, Mi Sheyesh Lo Kina B'Libo Atzmosav Nirkavin, V'Shem Kina B'Libo Ein Atzmosav Makrivin. The Gemara says that Markivin, the Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos, that only someone who experiences jealousy, their bones are going to rot. If they don't experience jealousy, their bones are not going to rot. So doesn't that include all tzaddikim, that their bones are not going to rot? Why do we limit it to such a tiny list of seven people? It should be everybody, every tzaddik. So it says also, Yishlomer Diacholiyo Shlo Yirkav V'Yishlo Barima. It's possible that the body won't rot but there will still be some maggots and worms on the body, even though the body doesn't rot. And the Tosfos points out, we just had such a Gemara in Maseches Bava Metzia, right? Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon, whose body remained intact. Remember, his krovim, his wife, was very nervous. What happened? Why it was that there was a worm that came out of his ear? Right when after he was dead, I've got the explanation over there why it happened. But they gave her some sort of explanation because of one thing that he had done. He didn't have rachmanos on some. I think it was the Tzar Bael Chaim Gemara. He didn't have rachmanos on something. I don't remember exactly. I don't remember what the reason was. But there was a reason, dafka, why the worm affected, even though he didn't decompose. So those are two different things. Decomposing and worms and maggots are two different things. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan, Arba Meisu Beitio Shel Nachash. There are four people who died in spite of never doing an Avera. They died simply because of the Avera of the Nachash HaKadmoni with Adam HaRishon. That's it. Ve'elu Hainan. Who are they? Binyamin ben Yaakov, Amram Avi Moshe, Yishai Avi David, Vikilav ben David. Now, first of all, it's interesting that it tells us who their relatives are also, right? And it's not only telling us their father's name. It's not like they're all being called to the Torah over here. Some of them are, but you know, some of them are given ben so-and-so, but some of them are Avi, right? Amram Avi Moshe, Yishai Avidav. We know who Yishai is. We know who Amram is. Why the connection? So that's what I think they say over the Vart, is that in order to be someone who... Notice something else about all these people. They're all secondary characters, right? They're all up for best supporting role, but none of them are the lead role. Moshe is the leader, right? Amram is not the lead. Moshe is the lead role. Yishai or David, who is a more prominent figure in Jewish history? Certainly David more so than Yishai, right? Binyamin ben Yaakov also. Yaakov much more so than Binyamin. So what's going on over here? So that's what they say, that in order to... The pasuk ain't tzadik ba'aretz asher lo yechta. There's no tzadik ba'aretz that doesn't do an avera. What does it mean? Over here we have four people who didn't do an avera. No, when a tzadik lives in his ivory tower and he just keeps to himself and he does his own thing, yeah, it's possible lo yechta. But ain't tzadik ba'aretz. If a tzadik is going to be involved, he's going to be involved with people, and he's going to try to make an impact on society, and he's going to really take a leadership position, an active position. It's impossible, Shalayachta. He's going to make mistakes. When you make yourself accessible to people and available to people, and you try to help people, you're going to insult somebody, you're going to say something the wrong way, you're going to make a mistake. It's going to happen. You're never going to be a tzaddik, Shalayachta. It's always but ultimately, you'll leave a much greater impact. Right, so the people who never sinned were those who never took the primary role, the primary leadership role. That's the that's what they say. The Maral, again, 400 the art site, so I might as well mention. Maral says no. It's because to get to this level, you can't just rely on your own zechuyos. You need to be mitzaref with another zechus. You need to have someone else's zechuyos to also be mitzaref with. It has to be a shutfus to get to this point. This is something a person can't accomplish on his own, and therefore lists all these people next to somebody else who they associated with that sort of pushed them to the top and sort of allowed them to achieve this incredibly lofty status. V'kulu gemar levar mi Yishai Avi David, all of these are derived from tradition only, not explicit in the pasuk, except for Yishai Avi David, the Mefarish Pekra, where it says it in the pasuk, "Dechsiv es amasa sam Avshalom tachas Yoav." Avshalom put Amasa in place of Yoav al Atzava, in charge of the army. Amasa ben Ish, Amasa was the son of a man Ushmo Yisraeli, Asher Baal Avigail Bas Nachash Achos Tzruya Eim Yoav. So it gives this whole lineage. But wait a second, Bas Nachashi, was she the Bas Nachash? Velo Bas Yishai, she was the daughter of Yishai, not the daughter of Nachash. Tichsev V'achiyosim Tzruya V'Avigail. It says V'achiyoseim or Tzruya V'Avigail. So we see that Avigail was a Bas Yishai. So why is it called Bas Nachash? El Bas Misha Meis Beitio Shel Nachash. Must be coming to teach me that she was the daughter of the one who died Beitio Shel Nachash. They did not die as a result of his sins, but died because of the bite of the snake, the Avera of the Nachash HaKanoni. Hadron Alech HaShutvin. That is the end of the first parak, and that's the end of Agadata for a little while now also. So now we get back into Halachic Gemaras. The Gemara again talking about our Chakas Nezikin, had to stay away from damaging other people. So lo yachbar adam bar samach lebar shel chaveru. You cannot dig a bar near your friend's bar. Vlo shiach vlo ma'ar vlo amas hamayim. Nor can you dig a shiach, which is a long, narrow type of bar, or a ma'ar, which is a cave. It's a bar that has a roof, or an amas hamayim, a spring of water. Vlo nevrachas kovsin. Nor a laundering pool. Elim kein hirchuk mikoslo shel chavero shlosha tvachim. Unless you stay three tvachim away from your friends, kosel v'sad besid. And you line it with cement to make sure that it's steady. Now the Gemara is going to ask: is it one or the other? Either three tefachim or sad besid? Is the vav over here an or is it an and? You need to do both three tefachim and sad besid. The Gemara is also going to note that we started off by saying you have to stay away from the boro shel chaveru, and then we said and all these things can only be dug if you stay away from koslo shel chaveru. So the Gemara is going to say, Koslo means the kosel of his bar. You need to stay this distance away from his bar's kosel when you dig your baros. Now, why is it? What's the problem with digging a bar nearby his bar? So there's a Machlokas Rashi and Tosos over here. Each of them has a very strong raya from a Gemara. So it's difficult to, meaning each one has a very strong raya. It seems to say like they say. Rashi says, Mipnei shachafira smuchel bar machleshes kosel bar marpa osan. Digging, just the constant digging weakens the bar, and therefore it weakens the ground that the that your neighbor's bar is on, and it weakens the walls of his bar because of the pounding and the digging. Says Tosos, no. Kol hani ayri de isplu maya. All of these things, notice what they all have in common, the bar and the nevrach sakovs, and all these things have water inside of them. V'taim mishum matunta, because I'm reading the Gemara, and the Gemara is going to say that it's all because of matunta, it's all because of moisture. It's the moisture that's going to kill the baro shel chavero. So it happens to be each one has a gemara that's very strongly in their corner, because the gemara is going to say on Amud Beis that when you're chofer baro kol maka umaka shemaka bekarka, every kolmaro umara, the gemara is in Avilashim, every pounding that you take into the karka is going to weaken the other guy's bar. That implies very much like Rashi, that it's the pounding away. So you see that the hezek is in the maisa chafira, but the Gemara in Daf Yates is going to say the chilik between those things that are listed in the Mishnah at the beginning of the Mishnah and those things that are listed in the end of the Mishnah, that in the beginning of the Mishnah, all of the items do damage because of moisture, and the moisture weakens the bar. So there's going to be, it's a steer in the Gemaras, whether the hezek is the moisture or the hezek is the pounding away. And nafkamina would be if you're dealing with a bar where it doesn't have water in it, would you have to be marking shel shotfachim or not? It's an obvious nafkamina. Says the Mishnah Vayter, umarchikim esagefes vesazevel, you have to keep away the olive sediment, the junk from the olives, and the zevel and the manure, vesam melach and the salt, v'sasid, v'saslaim, mikosel shel chaver shlosha tvachim. You have to keep all this stuff away from your friend's kosel for three tvachim. V'sad besid is the girsa that Tosos keeps. V'sad besid and v'sad besid. Now over here, it's a davar pasha. Tosos says even if the girsa is v'sad besid, it's a davar pasha that the vav means or. Because now we're dealing with things that are not mazik quite as much as a bar. A bar is mazik in a very strong way. So that's why we have a shaila, is it osad besid or visad besid? But by these things, rocks and things of that nature, that just being in the vicinity is not going to damage as much. It's clearly one or the other. You either marchik three tvachim, or you're sad besid, or you line it with some type of cement. Now these slaim, Rashi says, they're the types of rocks that ash comes out of them, that fire comes out of the rocks, that or yotze mehen. Tosos says slaim is not referring to, even though one could have been mifarish, that it's referring to coins, copper coins, and therefore the sun beats down on them, they get very hot. So you can understand that the heat is going to damage, but Tosos says, who in their right mind keeps coins out in the middle of their field next to someone else's fence? It's not where you keep coins. So it's got to be talking about, he says, Rashi's correct. It's got to be talking about this type of rock that fire comes from, and therefore the heat of the rock is going to damage the wall. I wasn't sure, the types of rocks that we rub together that to make fire, when you, I thought it's only the friction that creates the heat. I don't know, the Flintstone, I tried to do a Google search this morning, and all I got was about Barney and Fred, and I couldn't get anything. Mamish, I got vitamins. I couldn't get anything. Two words, one word doesn't make a difference. But anyway, so I don't know if they're hot on their own or if they're or if it's dafka when you do with the friction. But somehow there's some type of rock that's very hot on its own apparently. Marchikin es azra mesach machrisham ves meraglayim in a kosel shloshet vachim. We're marchik planting and plowing and urine from a wall by three tefachim. U'marchikin aserichayim shloshim min hashechav shein arba'a min harechav. And we keep a mill three tefachim away from the shechav, which is four tefachim from the rechav. There are two millstones, a top one and a bottom one. One of them is wider than the other. So you need to be three tefachim away from the wider of the millstones, one that goes out further, which is, by definition, four tefachim away from the narrower of the two. V'esatanur shloshim min hakilya shein arba'a min hasafa. And the same thing when it comes to the tanur. The tanur also has two parts. Rashi understands that there's a base of the tanur and there's a upper part of the tanur. The base is wider, so you need to keep three tefachim away from the base, which is four tefachim away from the heat generating part of the tanur. Tosfos understands that no, it's all part of the tanur. The tanur is shaped in a way that it's narrow at the bottom, protrudes out in the middle, and gets narrow again at the top. So it's three tefachim away from the widest part of the tanur, not from the base, but from the tanur itself. Yaakov Kamenetsky points out it's not just a machlokas in Perish of the Gemara, it's a machlokas in Halacha. If you have a tanur that doesn't have a base, how far do you need to be kept away from the heat, from the part that generates heat? According to Tosfos, it's four tefachim. According to Rashi, it's only three tefachim. The four tefachim was just a description from the... According to Rashi, it's four tefachim from the heat-generating part. Three tefachim is only from the base. According to Tosos, no, it's three tefachim from the widest part of the tanur itself that actually generates heat. That's what Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky points out in his Emes Yaakov. Says Gemara, Pasuk Bar Mesayim B'Kosel. We started the Mishnah by talking about being marchik from a bar, and then we started talking about a kosel. So Amar Abayi Vitem Rav Yudah Mikosel Bar Oshaninu. What we mean to say is you have to stay away from the kosel of your friend's bar. If you listen to Yadam Kein Hirchim, so just say you have to stay away from his bar, three tefachim. Why do you have to say kosel? We'll figure it out that it's the kosel of his bar. It obviously doesn't mean to stay away from the center of his bar, three tefachim, because his bar itself might be bigger than that. Staying away from the center of his bar, three tefachim, might even mean that you're in the bar. So obviously we know it means from the kosel of the bar. So it says, the kosel bar shloshu tefachim. Nafkamina l'mechach memkor comes to teach us that the width of the wall of a bar, the part of the bar that's considered the kosel of the bar, is three tefachim wide. And therefore, if you have to stay three tefachim away from that, it means you have to stay six tefachim away from the airspace of his bar. Because the first three tefachim of ground around the bar are considered the kosel of his bar. And nafkaminas from Mekach HaMemker, Kedetanya, Amar Lecha, what do we mean nafkamina Mekach HaMemker? Because it could have just said, stay six tefachim away from the airspace of his bar. Why does it have to say three tefachim? To tell me, Kedetanya, Amar Lecha, Vera, Bar, V'Kosel, Nimochalach, Sarg Shea, Kosel, Shlosh, Tefachim. Teach me such a din, that if I say that I'm selling you my bar with its kesel and with its walls around it, so then you know that you're entitled to the three tefachim area around the bar, because that's all considered the kosel. Itmar habalis, if you want to dig a bar right next to the border between your field and someone else's, Abaye says no problem, Rava says it is a problem. When this area is meant to dig boros in, and therefore it's reasonable to assume your neighbor's going to want to dig a bar in his side too, so then everyone would agree you can't dig a bar right on the border, because you're limiting his space that he's able to dig a bar. Keep leaving beside the shenas you the bars. We're only arguing where it's unlikely that he's going to dig a bar. Abaye Omer Somech. Abaye says you might as well put it right in your border. Dayinas you the bars, because he's not going to be digging any bar on his side, so you're not affecting him. Rava Amar Einu Somech. Rava says no, you cannot put a bar right on the border. Because the neighbor could say, just like you changed your mind and you decided to dig a bar, I could do the same thing. Ikadamri others say no, it's the reverse. Beside the shenas you the bars, Yerachal Somech. When it's a field that's not meant to dig baros, everyone would say you can put it right next to the border. Keep ligi b'sada asuyi l'baros. They're only arguing when it's a sada that's made to dig. Abaye Yomer Somech. Abaye says you can put it next to his field because Afilu Rabbanan Dar Marchik Nasilu Min Abar Asum Chamishama. Even according to the Rabbanan that say you have to keep your tree 25 amos away from someone else's bar, meaning even though the mazik, it's a mazik laharchik esatzmo, hasam hu debinu de kanata isal the bar. That's when you're planting the tree. There's already a bar on the other side. Aval hach binu de kachafar lasal the bar. But if you're digging the bar first, before there is another bar, there's no problem. V'rava Amar Rava says, no, ainu samech, you cannot be samech. V'afil Rabbi Yossi damar seh chofer b'tok shlo v'zem noteh b'tok shlo. Even if you assume like Rabbi Yossi that it's ala nizik la'archik asatzmo, that you don't have to worry about what your activities are being mazik somewhere else. Hanim ili'asim debidin l'kanata lasim l'shash of demaski l'adabar. That's only when you're planting, your roots aren't there yet that are going to destroy the bar. Avalach amalei kalmar omar d'kamachis kamafis l'arai. But over here you can say, every single digging that you're doing is weakening my ground. Now we have a raya from Mishnah. Liach brother bar samuch bar shal chaveru Can't take a bar next to your friend's bar. Time of a bar. Sounds like he already has a bar there. Halak a bar samich. But if he doesn't already have a bar there, you can dig it right near. Bishlam lahach lishna da amr besadashay nasui labaros divera kal samich. If you assume that in a sadashay nasui labaros, everyone would agree you can dig it right near there. Masnisim besadashay nasui labaros. Then we could just explain our mishnah talking about a sadashay nasui labaros, and that's why. And that's why the halacha is what it is. But if you're going to say they argue in a case of einasui labaros, bishlam labaye nichas, then according to Abaye, it works out really well that you can be samech on the Rava kasha. But why, according to Rava, can you not be samech? Rava would respond, our Mishnah says you have to stay away from the kosel boro, not from the bar itself. And therefore, we see that even the first guy had to be marchik, because he had to leave a space that is a kosel bar. Even the first guy who dug his bar also had to be marchik. And that's how Abaye will explain that's how Rava would explain our Mishnah within the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, that mi kosel bar roshaninu. All right, we'll bring further raya's tomorrow, Bez Hashem.